Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome in. Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show on Twitter at CHGO_White Sox. Alongside me is the full CHGO White Sox crew. Got Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. And you can read his latest piece at allchgo.com discussing Andrew Benintendi and his power. Exclusive quotes from Andrew that we'll discuss a little later on in the show. And also, the man in the middle, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. Shout out to everybody hanging out with us in the chat. We got five likes. Make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. Make sure you're subscribing to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel.
We got Yomer likes.
Yomer likes. Yeah. Oh, we got Pedro likes.
Yeah.
Look at that. Ray Durham. Yeah. We talked about players at 40 doubles in a season. Ray Durham, one of 27.
He's among them, yes.
Yeah. Herb, can you name any others?
None, sir. I'm out.
Wow. Frank Thomas would have been a pretty easy one to get.
Albert Bell. Yeah, he too. He's got the most in history. Yeah. Jermaine Dye.
Yeah. Yep, see, now you're rolling. Yeah. You said no. You just had no confidence.
I'm just
yourself.
So mad about this game. That's I'm so flustered.
Coming to you live after a White Sox loss.
Speaking of Albert Bell.
7-2?
Eight. Albert Bell.
We're up to eight. Up to Albert Bell likes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I said 7-2, and then you guys started saying eight, and I got really confused.
It's okay. Sorry. My bad.
Oh, you're all fine. Sox lose 7-2, and you guys can take it away.
Terrible, Sean. Just absolutely terrible. I think they walked 11 dudes, their pitching staff did, and they struck out 12 times their hitters did versus Alex.
13.
Effin Fado, whose career high coming into this game was 7. Alex Fado. Have you ever heard of him before? No. You heard of him last year when the White Sox absolutely murdered him.
If they watched the pregame show, we covered him.
I mean, I've heard of him so much because last year we must have spent a cumulative hour just talking about how to pronounce his name. Yeah.
And I still, I think I said it like 6 different ways. It was I think it's Alex Fajardo.
It is.
Something Alex Fajardo did today that is historic, at least for the Detroit Rock City Tigers or Detroit Walk City Tigers. let's hope. Sorry. Cody's distracting me.
Damn Cub people with all their garbage.
3 Detroit Tigers starters in history have had
winning and stuff.
10 Ks. They're losing 7-1. Right. 10 Ks, no walks, and 3 or fewer hits allowed. Joining Anibal Sanchez in 2014, and Denny McClain in 1965. Denny McClain, last time I checked, was the last 30-win
Detroit Tiger.
Last pitcher with 30 wins.
1965?
1968 was
one. I mean, they only pitch 33 nowadays.
Right.
Or 32.
That's crazy, though. I would have thought it would be a little more recent than that, like at least like the 80s or something.
Did we find 1968, 31 wins, 41 games started, 336 innings.
Is he still with us? I know we went to jail, but is he still with us? Okay.
Still with us. Went to Mount Carmel High School. Debuted against the White Sox.
He's a regular Nicky Lopez.
He is. More Mike Massey. He's a Catholic League blue. Or I don't even know if they're Catholic blue, but he made his debut against the White Sox, complete game, of course, when he was 19 years old. I actually don't know how to read. I thought he debuted and then finished his career against the White Sox. The Reds are a completely different team.
Yes. That's true.
Alex Fajardo, though, 10 Ks, mercy.
I mean, I didn't see anything that was extraordinarily great. Sometimes you see a pitcher and it's like, I understand that, but that makes sense that they struck out versus that guy all those times, but there's nothing there. Like, fastball, slider, change. Literally it. And none of that stuff was, like, premium. He does have a high chase rate. He's in the 85th percentile of chase rate in MLB in this 3 starts that he has started this year. But every single team that he's faced has got multiple hits off him, a home run in each of those games. Mm-hmm. I know that we got one with Gavin, but goodness gracious, they acted like that guy was out there being one of the top Detroit pitchers, like Rick Porcello, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander's type of people, Anibal Sanchez type of people. But no, Alex
Kenny
Fajardo,
Rogers.
Kenny Rogers, yeah. the gambler.
David Price was a...
Yeah, he was. Tiger.
I don't know if how good he was, though.
I mean, you'd name Rick Porcello.
Rick Porcello, I think, won a Cy Young.
With the Red Sox.
Yeah, true. He was good on that staff, though, too. That four-man staff was pretty
David
damn good.
Price has a better career than
he does, but
Rick Porcello.
But I think Rick Porcello was a better Tiger than David Price was.
Wow, what a debate. What a legendary debate we're having right now.
But I'm just saying, Alex Fajardo is no great shakes.
Well, Herb, this is the second time that you have had this reaction this week.
Yes.
Because this is the exact same thing that this White Sox lineup did in the first game in the Cleveland series against your boy, Hunter Gattis. It's the exact same thing.
Another person they crushed last year.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like this lineup has not yet reached the consistency, I don't even know what you want to call it, just the point of consistency where they are able to have the expected outcomes against the pitchers as you would see them. This matchup, favorable perhaps to the White Sox lineup, but hey, they went silent tonight. Four hits all evening. Sheets's homer was the only real big one of note. It was ugly. They didn't do anything. They struck out a lot. They didn't get any hits. They didn't really draw any walks. And, I mean, the pitching side, we'll talk plenty about it, but I would say this. I see a lot of complaints about Lucas Giolito in the comments. Lucas Giolito's been mostly very good this season. And also, White Sox starting pitching, or pitching in general, coming off a phenomenal stretch of 9 or 10 games here in a row. There's going to be a bump in the road. That's baseball, right? The fact that we're talking about this offensive performance for the second time in a week, the fact that even last weekend against the Royals, when they swept the Royals and they had these great pitching performances. Well, what? I mean, the offense was putting up, what, one or two runs in a couple of those games. So,
Kopech, yeah.
So, you know, this is something that the offense has been doing. We complained, or we pointed out, rather, so often in the first month of the season, man, a day when the pitching is good, the offense isn't good. A day when the offense is good, the pitching isn't good. Now, the pitching has been pretty consistently good in the month of May. The offense has yet to capture that consistency.
I saw this kind of laid out this way on Twitter earlier, and I just thought it was fascinating. The White Sox in March and April and May, I'm comparing these stats as team hitting, their walk rate, 6.6% to 6.7%. Their K rate, 22.9% to 21.5%. A little different. Average, 235 to 243. On base percentage, 296 to 299. Mm. Slugging percentage, a little difference here, 279 to 394. OPS, 674 to 693. Their ISO, 143 to 151. And their weighted to runs created plus, 86 to 89. 28 home runs in March and April, 24 in May, now 25 with Gavin. So still, I mean, it's nothing drastically different. Like, the only thing that I really noted that, you know, was like, hey, good job, their ground ball rate is like 6% lower, which is good, but I bet today probably bumps that up. There was a decent amount of ground balls. So it doesn't feel like this offense is changing a ton. And still, like, I mean, even against left-handers, I know obviously Fajardo wasn't a left-hander tonight, but I feel like they're getting less potent against left-handers. I mean, we saw that with Logan Allen. I mean, Logan Allen was just able to carve them up for six innings not too long ago. And, you know, if Cleveland had a more potent offense, they might have won that game. But, you know, this offense has been sputtering when they're not getting that Luis Robert or Jake Berger home run.
Yeah, I mean, it was – I think you could objectively describe it as horrible in April in the first month of the season. It's been better. But I think all along – while people have been making, and we've been among them, and rightfully so, I think, making these claims that, like, oh, look, the White Sox are still in this. They weren't buried because of that month, maybe like they should have been, but they weren't because of the way the division is playing out. Hey, look, they can do this. They're playing better of late. Better does not mean they're playing great. And I think that basically everybody that I talk to in that clubhouse says, yeah, it's been better, but we got a long way to go. And whether that's just amassing the needed number of wins, right? I think there was a quote from Pedro, was it was it from today? I'm not sure. From this road trip where he told Daryl Van Scowen and the other reporters following the team on the road this week, hey, yeah, we might be close because, you know, they got within, what, five games of the Twins. Hey, we might be close, but we're not going to the playoffs at 10 games under 500. Mm. And that's absolutely correct. I don't think anybody would tell you that this is a situation where the White Sox are, you know, fully turned around or playoff bound or anything. They've got a long way to go, and that includes the way that they're playing too. The pitching has been great. The pitching this month has been playoff caliber, no doubt about it. But the offense, they got a lot of work to do too.
Yeah, yesterday morning from James, at least from on Twitter, we got to worry about ourselves. We're 10 under 500. We're not going to the playoffs 10 under, which is true. I wouldn't put it completely past the AL Central for the most part. But yeah, 21 and 31. Right now, the Tigers, 23 and 25, would probably, you know, win the AL Central over the 10 game team under 10 games under 500. So it's ugly baseball to watch, and it's not really inspiring. I mean, there was never really momentum from the White Sox. Like, even the Gavin Sheets home run, it was like, oh, that went out.
Yeah, and the first RBI was pretty much largely produced by Berger. Got a hit, stole second. Timmy with a dew drop in over the first baseman's head, and Berger with his elite speed, Sean, comes
home.
He's
got it.
Andrew Vaughn doesn't.
Comes home. Oh, my Jesus. Did you guys see that play where he hits the ball deep in the hole? Javi Baez is in left field, pretty much by the foul pole over there.
Great defender.
Throws the ball, a 17-hopper, and gets my man, I can't believe, like, do you actually, I'm not challenging him because I don't want to do that shit again.
Because you will lose.
Who do you think is faster, him or Yaz? Because, goodness gracious, he was out by a good half a foot.
Sean's got the numbers for you, I'm sure. The eye test, and obviously let's remember, too, that Yasmani Grandal has been dealing with some leg stuff this year, so I can't imagine that that's helping his numbers either. But, Andrew, for all the guff that Yasmani Grandal gets for not being very fleet of foot, Andrew Vaughn deserves some as well, perhaps.
Yeah. Oh, he's extremely slow. And my takeaway from that play was they put that kid in the outfield 179 times. He was this slow the whole time. They put him in the outfield and thought that he would be able to run. And then he said, oh, my legs hurt? Of course they did. Because you were using them with all of your muscles to try to run 100 feet.
2021, he was fine.
I would hate. He should not do the marathon in when the Sox, Chicago the run marathon? Your socks off marathon.
Oh, the 5K? Sox 5K thing.
Yeah. Oh boy.
You know, a 5K is 5 kilometers, not 5,000 miles. I thought you a big office fan.
I got the reference.
Thank
I love
you, Steven.
I got the reference. I was just
you didn't want to participate.
My bad. I'm working like Andrew Vaughn's legs. I'm very slow today. But yeah, it I can't believe they put him in the outfield. But yeah, I mean, like you said, like he just kept bouncing and bouncing and bouncing, and he kept just not getting to first.
And I was like thinking, like, there's no way. Why did he throw that ball? That's a Major League Baseball player going down the line. Why just hold that ball? No, man, he beat him by a good half a foot. I got to see that. I got to see them race. Hey, guys, set it up.
I think
foul pole to foul pole. Who's going to win?
Foul pole to foul pole?
Yeah. Make a long one. Like
between
the,
Vaughn
like
and Yaz?
Like the freeze. Yeah.
Like the freeze.
Yeah, and put your calendar out.
That would be longer than yesterday's game.
Yeah, just bring your calendar out and see if they can make it. Oh, my God. They are so slow.
I would take Andrew Vaughn if I had to put money on it.
I mean, he's younger.
He'd be the favorite.
Well,
right.
Like I mentioned, too, Grandal is dealing with some stuff.
Andrew probably is as well. I mean, by the way that he's running. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just brutal. And what is – I mean, he just is brutal at the
plate as
well.
I guess my point is don't make a man who, you know, has persistent hamstring troubles just run for your entertainment.
I mean, that was Herb and he fell on his face.
Technically,
right. His – Herb gets to sit down.
His sprint speed is 11th percentile. Andrew Vaughn's is.
Yeah, but again, eye test. Like, I understand what the StatCast stuff says. Yeah. There's the feature that you can make them run 90 feet per second, and you could see who's faster, even though the numbers are there for you. You could just read, oh, he's a foot per second faster, whatever. But I think if you're just saying in a competition, like Yasmani, you're going to race Andrew Vaughn, I think that the competition might make him a little bit faster. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Like, it's tough to get a full read on how fast these guys are, because how many times is, you know, Yasmani Grandal thinking, oh, I'm going to run as fast as I can to first base to try to get an infield single, right? I mean, he's usually coasting to whatever base he's going to. So, like, I do wonder what his true top speed is. We just saw Andrew Vaughn's top speed. It's not fast.
And just to finish off,
he hustles like crazy.
Yasmani Grandal in the 1st percentile of sprint speed.
But I don't know if he hustles. Like, I know Andrew is going as fast as he can. He needs to get a hit. I mean, he went 0 for today. Ooh. I picked him for click to pick. 0 for 3. That's not going to win it, Andrew. What's going on?
I don't know what's going on with him at
you
all.
You won it.
I won today.
By default.
With Tim RBI? Yeah.
Yeah.
Default?
Yes.
RBI single. That's what's wrong with that?
RBI single out of 2 runs. All right. All right. You got half the runs.
Let's look at the resumes. I picked Andrew Vaughn. He went 0 for 3 with a strikeout. Herb picked Luis Robert Jr. He went 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts.
And a GIDP to end the game.
And Tim Anderson went 1 for 4. You win just by that stat.
With the RBI single.
Doesn't even matter.
He's got
a hit. Mm-hmm. None of the other guys got a hit.
Yeah, I picked the guy who got the hit.
And right before
so you win by default.
And right before we left, the guy who actually would have won if he was part of the show, he's our Canadian correspondent, KPW, said Gavin Sheets. Who hit a home run? Right.
Yeah, and you didn't bet on him.
I didn't bet on him. I'm sorry.
What's wrong with you?
I couldn't get out in time.
You just said you forgot.
No, I was literally on the DraftKings site, and I was like, I didn't have any money deposited in there.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't take a long time, but I was just like, do I want to deposit? Do I really want to trust KPW again? I'm sorry for KPW for doubting you.
Yeah, it's your fault. Could have been richer.
He won me money last time.
Don't blame the number one sports book in America, DraftKings, which has very fast withdrawals and deposits.
Well, that's what I do. Every time I do win on DraftKings, I withdraw it immediately.
And it goes right into your bank account.
Because it usually wins a lot of money, and it's quick, too.
Fred's saying we're spiraling towards a conclusion that Vaughn might not be good. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about a couple of Andrews here, and we'll have a little chat, because Andrew Vaughn's perplexing me, and Andrew Benintendi seems frustrated as well, but with himself, not Andrew Vaughn.
That would be bizarre and out of character.
Very weird. want to let you know, though, about FOCO. Not only is this lovely Tim Anderson bobblehead a FOCO donation, but also we have a Southpaw one back here,
right behind
Herb's head. Lovely, lovely pieces that they donated for our set. So go show them some love at foco.com. That's FOCO.com, or click the link in the description below. For online presale items, you can use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. And it's very fun to explore their site. You can get fit in the best sports gear around. They have hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. And since it is spring and baseball season, they also have Aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you need for a game in stock. So again, go to foco.com. That's FOCO.com, or click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. Herb, you're holding up your finger.
I was pointing at Vinny out here.
Your sky pointing for Tina Turner?
The FOCO. No, FOCO, behind me.
Oh.
No.
I was like, wow.
But also, sky point for Tina Turner from yesterday. Yes. She was simply the best.
Rock and peace.
Do you guys have a favorite Tina Turner song?
I mean, because I was a fan of the song Simply the Best, and then they did it in Schitt's Creek twice. Both great times. I love that song the most.
I mean, it's hard to go against their version of Proud Mary. I'll go ahead and throw Nutbush City Limits in there, too, I believe, which she wrote. Mm-hmm. But I know the most famous version of Tina Turner is the 80s Tina mm-hmm. Turner. I would say prefer musically the 60s version of Tina Turner, though glad that she lived her life in the 80s
right,
better than she did in the 60s.
Yes, exactly. did you know that she lived in like Europe for like the last 20, 30 years?
She renounced her American citizenship.
Yeah.
She was a Swiss citizen by the end of her life.
Bought an $88 million mansion or something like that in Switzerland.
Sounds nice.
Good for her.
With her husband, who was like a record producer or something like that. Good times.
He's a bad guy, right?
No. Her
Ike was
husband.
Her
original husband.
Yeah, Ike
very
was terrible.
Bad guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Conforto hit another homer. Let's go.
Number 11.
I also got a bet on that too. How many runs have they scored, Steven?
It's 2-0.
Oh, damn it. We need four Giants runs, and then Sean will be a happy boy. All right, let's take another ad break here.
Another one?
Oh wait, no, well,
you just did one.
But we took one for folk. It's the same.
We're
one.
In the middle.
It's
of the
same
break.
One, right?
Yeah, oh, we're still on the break.
I did want to share too. My first ever college radio show I did, first ever open I made. The college show was called The Thunderdome, and I had Tina be like, "The Thunderdome."
Did you need another hero?
No.
Okay.
I didn't play the song. I just used the Thunderdome drop. Mm.
Go back also too and watch the movie version of Tommy, the rock opera by The Who. Mm-hmm. Tina Turner plays the Acid Queen.
Oh,
the song that she does in there is tremendous.
All right, I gotta check that out. That's different than Quadrophenia. Or no,
those are two different things. Okay, yes.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
Both rock operas, but yeah.
Glad we could clear that up.
Yeah.
All right. All right. If you are gonna go outside ever. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shade Rays have you covered with warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. What?
If you're going to go outside ever, you have some sunglasses.
Exactly.
That's true.
Shade Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventure. That's not all. Shade Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they tell us that they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. If you don't love your Shady Rays, I don't know why you wouldn't. I wear mine every single day when I'm outside driving. I guess I'm not technically outside, but
I mean,
the
you
sun
have to,
is outside.
Yeah.
It's be hard to drive
exposed to the elements.
Inside.
I mean, lower whacker.
It's still inside. I'm not still outside.
That's outside.
Yeah.
It's outside?
Yeah.
Even the underground tunnels?
Yeah.
That's outside?
Yeah. Just because it's enclosed doesn't necessarily mean it's inside.
That's freaky. if you don't love your Shade Rays, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. And hey, since it is the 25th of May, Shady Rays Memorial Day sale is live right now. So go to ShadyRays.com and get 35% off all sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. I love my Shady Rays. Herb loves his Shady Rays. Vinny loves his Shady Rays. Steven Nicholas, our producer, just got a ton of compliments on his Shady Rays down in Arizona where there's a ton of sun.
It's so the Valley of the Sun.
It's the Valley of the Sun. Their basketball team. This is going to blow your mind. The Suns.
Everybody in the Suns arena, when they go to watch the Suns play, have to wear sunglasses. Because you're not supposed to stare into the sun.
You call them Corey Hart. wearing their sunglasses at night.
Right.
Yeah. He used to be a Brewer. Michael Conforto just homered off him.
Not off of him, but
off of the Brewers.
The Brewers.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was going to say, does Corey Hart just play every position? Yes, did they clone him 8 times and he's the every position?
44-year-old Corey Hart.
That's Conforto's 11th home run. He is tied for 9th in the National League.
With Acuna. You'd be tied with Jake Berger?
He has 11 home runs? Yeah.
Does Berger have 10?
I think he's at 9?
Berger has 10. I think 9-1. Like 9 at home, sure. 1 on the road.
Sure.
So you'd be 2nd on the Sox behind Robert.
Yeah.
Albert says, can we complain more about the Sox? Of course. So I want to bring up some stats that bottle the mind.
Boggle
the mind. I tweeted this out earlier. If you told me before the season that on May 25th, Andrew Vaughn would have a run value against sliders of 5, that's good. A run value of 5 against cutters, that's good. And a run value of 1 against sweepers. That's positive. 31 RBIs, a 1742 OPS in high leverage situations, a 1381 OPS with runners in scoring positions. I would have hand carved his Cooperstown plaque.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. 1741 OPS?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
In high leverage.
Jesus.
So if he has somebody in scoring position, Andrew Vaughn, and I'm stealing this from Alex Rude, is Ted Williams. If he has nobody on base, he is 35-year-old Jose Abreu.
This is the reason why I've been telling people, like, let's drop some people down from the top of the order, Tim, Andrew Benintendi, because they haven't been getting on base. Well, Benintendi as of late has been, but Tim not as much. You need people up on base in front of the boppers and the people who are doing work when people are on base. Yoan Moncada, usually when people are on base, does well. And so if you have no one on base, that makes that at bat with Andrew Vaughn, and he's been looking piss poor as of late, even worse. So I don't know what the solution is. I know they're never probably going to move Tim Anderson out of that spot, and they only take Andrew Benintendi out of the two or three spot when there's a lefty they're facing, and that rarely happens. So, yeah, those two just need to figure it out and get on base more for Andrew Benintendi because he's absolutely crushing it when he needs to, but when he doesn't, as you said, Ted Williams to what was the other comparison? Domingo Ramos, what would you say?
35-year-old Jose Abreu.
Okay.
Who's Domingo Ramos?
Former catcher for the Cubs.
Yes. Well,
but here's the thing, too, Herb. Let's not go and say that Andrew Vaughn not doing well right now is somebody else's fault, right? I mean,
correct.
And that's the thing is that you always talk process over results, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, what's the process when the only time you can get a hit or the only time you can put a good at-bat together is when – you know, the game's on the line or when there's guys on base in front of you, maybe, you shouldn't needing to have the moment psych you into having a good outcome.
Good point.
You should be just, playing better all the way around. So as those numbers, Sean, and of course you read them for a reason, look how incredible those numbers are for a guy who is not having a very good year.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers basically don't tell you much of anything when you watch every at-bat he has and you say, well, where is this? Because that guy who has those numbers is not right. The guy who's stepping to the plate every time.
No, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing is, like, he's been good in certain situations. Fred says small sample size. I think it's Fred or White Sox Tom. But it's something that just really is not, like, sustainable. It's not like, oh, that's going to be what, he's going to finish the year with, right? There's concern about Andrew Vaughn, like, this was a player last year that just crushed fastballs and has always crushed fastballs. I need to do more research, but 2021 hard hit percentage against four seam fastballs, 69.6%. Nice. 2022, 64% hard hit percentage against four seam fastballs. This year, 48.7%. Just completely falling off the map. I don't know what it is. And that's hilarious because, like, the one thing that got me excited this offseason was Chris Johnson being like, we're going to have our guys crush fastballs. We're going to have our guys crush fastballs. And I was like, this is the guy that's going to do it. This is going to help him.
Just like
he stinks.
Just like you're saying that the numbers that you read off earlier won't be sustainable. I don't know if that will be sustainable, that he's so poor versus fastballs.
Right.
It will normalize to its regular level eventually. And I mean, we have more than half the season left over for him to be better. But, yeah, right now, for the most part, most of those players are not doing, as Vinny was talking about earlier, and somebody had pointed out how many hits the White Sox have had in the last, like, five, six games versus the Royals, the Guardians, and now the Tigers. It's not been good. It's not been them actually taking it to teams. It's been the pitching staff carrying these teams for these series victories with the hitters doing just enough to get them over the top. We saw the other day where they only had one run versus the Guardians and then the three-run seventh inning bailed the White Sox out and then the pitching staff put up some zeros after that. So these guys need to step up. The hitters need to find a way to get some hits on the road. I don't know if it's if I can find splits for home and away, but we know that Berger is just lost on the road. Sheets hit his fourth home run on the road, so he's even. I think he's had eight home runs, 4-4. So I don't know what you need to do on the road. Chip your beds out there, get some sponsorships with the whatever Mattress Firm, and make it seem like home. Light some candles in the hotel. I don't know, but do it.
We kind of were talking about this last year, but it was the opposite. They
yes.
couldn't win at home. So like I just think maybe they're just a bad baseball team.
Oh,
maybe
that's
it 100%. Doesn't matter if they're at home or on the road, they're just 10 games under 500, and they kind of stink.
Clark brings up basically what I was going to talk about, which was this is a slump. This happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two-thirds of the season left, and Herb, like you said, Andrew Vaughn is going to normalize some of these things. Right now, it looks bad. It doesn't look good at all. He's not playing well. But correct me if I'm wrong, and again, it's a low bar to clear, but coming out of April, he was one of the best hitters on the team, was he not?
Okay.
So. That's one good month, one bad month. And again, you don't want to do that. You want consistency. You're shooting to be pretty much the same hitter throughout or as close to it as you can get, at least a productive hitter throughout the entire course of the season. Sometimes, though, it looks like this. And right now, Andrew Vaughn's down at the bottom, but it does not preclude him from from going back up.
Right, and he's still currently better than his rookie year, which, hey, but, I mean, still, the power isn't there. Five home runs is still just disappointing through 50 games at this point, over 215 plate appearances or so. You know, it's just it's disappointing, but we'll see. Long season, of course, and he's not injured yet. Knock on wood, right? You know, I mean, we don't know of that. Like, it doesn't seem like he's hindered to play. So, you know, maybe he's just got to play through it, and there'll just be one game, one pitcher that will just set things off. Right. Jake,
somebody was asking in the thing. Let's see, Brett Breen was asking, when's TA's last extra base hit? Anybody want to venture a guess?
So today wasn't a double because he got to
second? No, that was on the throw. Yeah.
Venture a guess when his last extra base hit was?
So I did see this stat today that in the month of May, he had the third lowest average exit velocity at like -1. So mm-hmm. he's just been hitting it into the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
I would say pre-IL stint.
That is correct. April 8th. Ugh. He had a double that day. That was the last time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bigger concern than Andrew Benintendi, Andrew Vaughn, Tim Anderson. I mean, what has happened with him? That's just extremely concerning. So, we'll see if that turns around. I mean, he says he's one swing away. So, I mean, maybe that's the same with Andrew Vaughn and TA, is one swing breaks them out and here we go.
I'll just put it this way. When it does come to someone like Tim Anderson, there's more reason to be confident in him waking up mm-hmm. than there are a lot of other players. I would mostly point to guys who haven't done it before. TA's been there and done that. So, like, when you see a full month worth of struggles from someone like Oscar Colas, which happened at the beginning of the year, you go, I don't know when this is going to end because I've got no, you know, data to fall back on, no history to fall back on to prove that this guy is going to break out of this. He's struggling against Major League Pitching. He has had no success against Major League Pitching. Tim Anderson, on the other hand, has had quite a bit of success against Major League Pitching. And also, too, is a guy who can thrive by just going the other way, smacking that ball over there. Tim Anderson can get back to being Tim Anderson without needing to have a two-homer game or without needing to, you know, have this incredible hot streak where he's hitting, you know, a triple every other day or something like that. He's a guy who can get back to being himself and the effective, productive, necessary guy for the White Sox by just hitting a single over to right field every other time at the plate.
I mean,
and I'm not saying that that's easy because it's not. That's baseball, right? Baseball's not easy. But this is a guy who has done that and created a career for himself by doing that. Get back into doing that, and you get the White Sox have TA back.
I mean, it starts small, and it's the small things that turn into bigger things. He's got a current modest 3-game hitting streak, got a hit in 4 of his last 5. So it's going to start small with him just adjusting to how his body is now. Like, maybe his knee's not 100%, and we all probably feel that. And he just has to grind through it because they're not putting him back on the IL. He's not going to be 100% healthy or close to 100% healthy. He just has to find a way, which he's doing now, to get hits and to get on base, however he can do it. So just take this 3-game hitting streak, make that a 10-game hitting streak, like Andrew Benintendi. And in there somewhere, you can find the power stroke. You can find the gaps to get a double and such. And there was one time he did hit the ball in the gap, I think in Cleveland, but he doesn't have the speed yet where a regular Tim would have had second easily. Now he's just, you know, feeling through his new knee problems, and he's like, I just can't push it like I used to.
You mentioned gaps, and that's a perfect transition to talk about Andrew Benintendi and Vinny's latest piece at allchgo.com. So head over to allchgo.com. It's a free piece. It's exclusive quotes. Joe Kelly, Andrew Benintendi, White Sox players, White Sox beat. What else do you want, folks? Come on. This is premium content for free. Go check it out at allchgo.com. I want to go to some quotes and some graphics. Let's go to the radial one first. Yes. I said that one first, right? Yeah, okay. Cool. We're good, Steven. Good job. Quote, it's definitely been a grind to try to find my swing, Benintendi told CHGO. That's Vinny last weekend. I feel like...
That's all of us, guys.
I feel like...
It was me.
You were there. Yeah. I feel like so far this year I haven't driven the ball at all, and I think that's just timing, swing path, things like that. I'm trying to just clean that up. I'm still getting hits here and there, and he got one tonight, but I definitely don't think I've played to my potential yet. Let's go to the radial chart, and I tried to overlay this. So the pink that you see there in that kind of darker green area, that is barrels. And something that I, you know, have been kind of showing is just that he's been not barreling up balls. You hit a home run, usually you're barreling up a ball. That's why those pinks are kind of in that green area. He has not had a single one of those in 2023 yet. And, you know, these are from 2021 and 2022. These pink dots, the 22 homers that he has hit over those 2 years. He just really isn't getting that extra oomph to get to that level, to get those homers. So it has just been, you know, it's backed by the data. I don't really know much about the swing path and what he's looking for specifically. But yeah, at least the pop, the oomph, really hasn't driven the ball, and that's backed by the data, obviously. But then also going back, this kind of just goes to what we talked about in pregame, and how I've just been kind of frustrated with Rick Hahn not knowing the ballpark he's fielding a team for. Benintendi told you, playing in Kauffman the last 2 years, I completely changed everything. Going into this year, I figured it might take some time to change again because at Kauffman, I just try to beat the shift. It's such a big stadium, and I'm not a big guy. Now it's trying to find contact points to drive the ball in the gaps, knowing that now I can maybe pull a ball and hit it 385 feet, and it's a homer instead of an out. I'm trying to find the swing and the swing path to pull the ball more and drive it more. Now going to the spray chart here, this is at Guaranteed Rate Field in 2023, and we talked about this in pregame. Andrew Benintendi has 2 career home runs at Guaranteed Rate Field. Both of them are opposite field home runs off Lucas Giolito and Juan Manaea in 2019 and 2018. And you could see that Benintendi is right. He can pull the ball now and hit it 385 feet, and it's a home run. He just hasn't at all. Once.
Look at the lack of pop fly outs to right field. There's nothing there in right field. No outs. Except for one, maybe, in right center.
And that one was one that Kyle Tucker and the center fielder, I don't know who it was that day for the Astros, kind of just had a bad communication and let it drop, and then it was a ground rule double. But it could have been an out, too. Like, it was kind of a lazier fly ball.
Well, again, you just read the quote, and that is him trying to make sense of what's going on for him right now.
Right.
And so I think the way he's explaining it, probably not an explanation that's going to make anybody happy, yourself included, but it seems like he is it's taking him time to change his swing either back or to what it needs to be now that he plays his home games at Guaranteed Rate Field. It seemed the way he explained it was, hey, he went to the Royals and the balls that he used to hit out of Fenway Park weren't home runs anymore. Mm-hmm. They were outs. And so he needed to revamp his swing to make himself a successful hitter for that stadium. He needs to do the same thing now in Guaranteed Rate Field. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't gotten all the way to the finish line yet. You heard him explain, I need to remember. I need to find the angle of my swing where I can do what needs to be done to hit the ball out of this ballpark, which I can do now. Those balls weren't going out mm-hmm. at the K. They can go out at the Rate. And I, Andrew Benintendi, need to figure out how to do that with my bat. It's something that takes some time. And again, I'm not saying, oh, he's got a 5-year contract. He can take all the time he needs. No, they need to win games now. But he is doing something that a lot of people might have thought was going to be the flip of a switch, and it obviously hasn't been the flip of a switch for him.
Yeah, and I don't think it's as easy as a flip of the switch, and I don't know if I'm really frustrated with Andrew himself with, you know, his lack of home runs. I mean, again, I know that he wasn't signed with the intention for him to lead the White Sox in home runs. I'm mad that they didn't sign somebody with the intentions to lead the team in home runs. But you look at his rolling averages for 2023, just over each 5 games, like Pedro wants us to take this, and you can just see when he starts pulling the ball more consistently, the hard hit percentage goes down. So if he, I don't know if is making concerted efforts to start pulling the ball, but he really just isn't able to get the pull and power aligned just yet. And, I mean, hey, I never was able to do it, and that's why I'm sitting here. you know, and not getting paid $75 million. So I don't think he's going to be hitting 17 home runs or 20 home runs or anything like that. I don't think he's hitting your 10, but he'll probably hit one this year. I mean, Nick Madrigal hit
one.
I
hope so. Billy Hamilton hit two.
With the Sox.
2021, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In the same weekend, right? Against Baltimore? Or was it only one?
What I saw from Andrew Benintendi today is just one time he stepped in the bucket and he hit the ball to left field. Usually when you step in the bucket, you're pulling the ball and you're looking for that extra power to hit to your field. But no, he doesn't have the power yet to hit and to pull the ball out of a ballpark. So, yeah, I agree with you. I believe what Andy said to you, Vinny. But to have zero home runs at this point to play majority of the games, that's bad. No matter what, like, you're an outfielder. You should have at least five home runs right now. Like, you play all these games, all these at-bats, should run into a home run every once in a while. I mean, to have zero is just piss poor.
That's what I was trying to show, and I had the stats wrong. But, I mean, even Leury had a homer off Brad Keller pulling a ball last year in the month of April. Like, you know, I mean, like, and Leury was getting, we know, because Tony was the manager, he was getting starts every damn day.
Yeah.
To back that point.
I hope that he and Andrew Vaughn and Tim Anderson all go on a streak at the same time. Because that means the White Sox will win a lot of games. That means those guys will get those numbers. And that means my guy Andrew Benintendi will get 10 home runs so Sean could shave his head, which is not a punishment because you've shaved your head before already.
I did.
You did the same bet again?
Mm-mm.
No.
I think you guys get a pet pig.
No, I'm not getting a pet pig.
I like that bet.
Good job, Schwo. What happens to you if they lose? You have to shave your beard?
He said I have to give like $100
to shave
him.
His beard.
Oh, that's
easy. To give $100. No.
Now, we're confusing many bets.
Two different bets.
Schwo has a bet with us that we did not agree to.
I agreed.
That if the White Sox were three and a half games over 500 by July 4th, I'd get a pet pig. If they were under, Herb would have to shave his face. Then we have the 10 homer bet where Herb has to pay me $100 when Andrew Benintendi doesn't hit 10 home runs.
In the event that you lose, what happens?
Hey, if I have to shave my beard for that bet, can you shave your eyebrows for the other one?
The Benintendi one?
Yeah.
Wait.
Deal. All right. You're going to give me $100?
Yes. $100. Yes.
This is not how this works.
Yes.
I'm time stamping. He had to shave his eyebrows. Going down.
But his eyebrows will just grow back.
And eventually. My favorite part about this bet is I don't remember actually betting $100 with you, so I just secured myself $100, hey. Which is this is a swindle of the deck.
Herb, to quote Denny Green, you let him off the hook. Right.
Yes.
I just can't wait for both the disappointment that Andrew Benintendi finally found the power switch and that he can't even show his frustration because he has no more eyebrows.
We'll have to draw him some like Uncle Leo.
to Fred's point, he's got a long, expensive years to figure it out. In 2023, Andrew Benintendi's only making $8 million. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, he's got time to figure it out. I mean, right now, as long as he's, you know, getting on base and scoring runs, let's go. I mean, he can join the 27 White Sox who have hit 40 doubles. That would be a nice, you know, need home runs.
I mean, 40 doubles is a lot of doubles.
It is a lot of doubles.
Great. That'd be great. I'm not trying to,
sacrifice 10 of them for home runs.
I did laugh my ass off when someone was like, White Sox fans would still complain if Andrew Benintendi hit .333, batted .400, and slugged .447. I was like, no, he wouldn't. It's like a career year
for
him.
I'm sure he'd find something to complain
about. No, I mean, that would be a career year for him. That'd be fantastic.
If he did that and hit no home runs, I'm like, go ahead, man. Yeah. It's like Tony Gwynn it up.
You got on 40% of the time. That's great. I'm not stupid. That's a slugging percentage of like .847. That'd probably lead the damn White Sox. We'd kill for somebody with an OPS of .847. I know, I guess that's Luis Robert Jr., but imagine if we had two of them. All right.
Kelsey, we're getting a teacup pig. Not a big one.
Not a pot-bellied pig.
And when they do get big, bacon time.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Oh, my God. Her.
Where do you guys think bacon comes from? Are we?
Not a pet. If it's a pet,
I'll eat it with you.
It's delicious.
Don't listen to that.
Good Lord.
It's delicious.
Can you guys do the comment read?
Yes. Hold on.
Go ahead, Herb.
I didn't know it was time. I mean, you told us already. We failed. Well, I failed, actually.
You fail. You just started talking about killing animals. Now we just got to a weird place.
That's what we eat. The Comet Energy.
They're not pets. They're not pets beforehand.
Yes, I'm not going to eat my dog. The Comet Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
You know, you're right, Herb. ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across our beloved territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, like those for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
How does it work?
You know, I'm glad you asked because I have that information for you. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project cost, potential incentives, and simple payback. If you, Herb, own a business, don't wait.
I won't.
Good. Participate.
Good. Here's the Chicago Transit Authority. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz.
Vinny, did you just say comed.com/poweringbiz, spelled B-I-Z?
Yes, I did. Schedule it today.
Okay, so I've created a new bit.
Yep.
You're welcome, America. I know everybody loves my bits. Andrew Benintendi is now over 200 plate appearances with the White Sox without a home run. Nick Madrigal had 245 until he hit his first home run. So we're basically seeing if it will take him more plate appearances than Nick Madrigal to hit his first career White Sox home run.
I'll go under.
You'll go under?
Yeah.
You'll do it. You'll say in the next 45 plate appearances, Andrew Benintendi will have his first White Sox career home
Correct.
Run.
Correct.
So that's like 10 games.
A little bit more.
45 plate appearances?
Yeah.
He's played like about 10 games. He bats second. He bats second, I mean, so he's going to get four each
approximately
game.
Approximately 10 games.
Okay. You taking the over under? Will he have one in the next 10 games?
We have one in the next 10 games. I will say no.
Okay. I will also say no. Anyways, we're going to move on.
Herb says yes, though.
Exactly.
Herb says, he needs to because he owes me $100. he also wants to see my eyebrow shaved. I did that once. Very funnily, like whenever I was going to a dance, I always try to trim my eyebrows, and then it would be the day of course, and I would like do a little bit way too much, and so it'd be like, you know, half my eyebrow would be cut, and I'd be taking prom pictures.
Oh, would you so do you ruined it. I wanted this to be like adult dancing.
Oh, no, God.
Like
no,
whenever
no.
I went out dancing.
No, I only had to do that whenever it was high school mandated.
I thought you like line dancing. Yeah. Square country dancing. Bar.
No, yeah.
You don't want to see me
go
move.
Up to Carol's.
Do you do a...
Carol's?
It's a place on the north side.
In, right, what would you call that?
That is...
Ravenswood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
Right where Ravenswood and Andersonville meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Country bar right by Chase Park.
Clark and Lawrence ish. I think it's Clark and Sunny.
We should go.
Line dancing? Clark no, and thank you. Yeah.
No. And they also have karaoke, I believe.
Okay.
Karaoke.
We could do karaoke.
It's country themed, I believe.
Kelsey, by the way, is very adamant about this whole pig situation. Kelsey, she seems to have researched this.
Kelsey, this was a bit yesterday when Tro wanted Sean to get a pig, which he was not going to get a pig because. Pigs, firstly. Secondly, where we house it. So we're not going to get a pig. I don't call PETA on us. We're good.
Well, it's allowed by Chicago law. We looked this up.
It is.
But she says it's not a good idea.
To get big. Teacup pigs.
I know it is. That's why I said no.
I'm just saying she has obviously researched this.
No, Kelsey probably has experience. She's like, I love teacup pigs. And she got one. And she's like, son of a bitch, this thing is eating me out of house and home. And they smell like ass. Get out of my place, pig.
Mercy. We're not getting a pig. All right.
You know, pigs don't sweat.
Pigs don't sweat.
Dogs. They don't sweat. Neither do dogs.
They pant.
That's why sweating like a pig makes no sense. They don't sweat. That's why they're rolling around in mud to cool themselves off.
Do cats sweat?
Don't know. Don't think so.
Okay. I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know for sure.
So they're not allowed in my house.
Okay. Why?
Cats
because
are jerks.
They don't sweat?
Cats are not jerks.
Oh, my God.
You just have
every
the wrong
cat is a jerk except for to their owner.
That's not true. My cat's not a jerk.
If I come over, your cat would leave immediately. And go in some other room.
That's fine. That's good.
That's fine.
Cat likes me.
To the owner. Yeah. To the owners. They're great.
All right. Let's no one anonymously send a pig to CHGOHG.
Do not send a pig.
All right. I'm going to stop saying West Loop of Chicago. I'm going to stop giving you an idea of where to send a pig.
I mean, that's not very specific.
It'd be very, very crude of you to send a pig in the mail. Okay? Do not do that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I crazy
mail,
to,
write?
To
do
note
not
that?
Ship live animals.
If you're thinking about sending a pig, take that money and just ship it here. I'll take it. Right. I got to pay Sean $100.
Yeah, so you donate to the Andrew Benintendi fund. Real quick, we got to finish out the ad break and then just
final. We're still in the ad break?
Yeah, we are. Liam Hendricks might be returning on Monday. There's talks. He's going to be throwing a live bullpen session
tomorrow,
and they're going to make a decision on if he is or isn't going to return. Sox return home on Monday against the Angels. That is the next possible day that he might return. It would be a great time to use game time. They might announce it day of, so you don't have to stress when you're buying tickets to make sure that you are there for Liam's return to cheer him on. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game time is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets to all the sports, comedy, music, and theater near you. They have killer last-minute deals. Killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, so you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun that you'll have. They have flash deals, image of seat views, and the lowest price guarantee, which offers you 110% of the difference if you find tickets in the same section or row for less. And their great customer service will get you that 110% difference as fast as they possibly can. Herb got it in under 15 minutes. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Our friend Melissa in the chat used this just the past Saturday to get into the guaranteed rate field. So terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Game Time. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Someone mentioned Gio. Is Gio still good? We're not really mad at Gio. Like Vinny mentioned, 9 straight quality, quote unquote, starts from the starting pitcher / one bullpen. Nine with an asterisk. Strix. And Gio was bad. As Herb mentioned, 11 walks from the White Sox pitchers today. That's not good. 3 2/3 innings pitch, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 4 Ks, 7 walks. Fieto, as we mentioned, 10 Ks, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 innings pitched. Giolito, not the reason the Sox lost. The team played bad today.
Yeah. He helped.
He did help. Yeah. And let's go to the pitch results here because now the White Sox are 2-8. 2-6 in their last 8 games where Lucas Giolito started against the Tigers. Gio threw 44 fastballs today, got 2 whiffs on 14 swings on that pitch, 3 whiffs on 12 swings on his slider, 3 whiffs on 9 swings of his changeup, 8 whiffs total on 35 swings. That's a 23% whiff rate. Called strike plus whiff percentage of 25%. Was really trying, really struggling to find the zone, and that was shown by his outside of the zone percent of like 18. That was a big reason for his success early on this year, is getting guys to swing and miss out of the zone, like trying to throw that high fastball near the top of the zone where it's not a strike, it's more of a pitcher's pitch. Detroit wasn't biting. Detroit wasn't going for it. They weren't swinging at anything out of the zone, and he obviously walked the yard. So just an ugly, ugly all-around game for Gio. I don't think there's much more to add. But
I'm just going to add that coming into this game, he had 12 walks in the year. He had 7 today. Like, this is an anomaly, I believe. So I can give him a little grace because he's pitched pretty well this year. So I'm not, I see people who wants, especially last year, and then when he has a bad start, want to jump on Gio. But no, he has been more, top level starting pitcher this year than the guy that showed up today. Today was just an anomaly, I believe. I think the man will come back out the next time and give us more of what we expect from him. So the 7 walks is just bad and inexcusable. So he had a bad outing, but I don't think the pitcher is actually bad.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Crochet walked 4 today, and he didn't have very much time out there either on the mound coming in as a reliever. I think, like I said at the top of the show, I think the offense and its lack of consistency in general is far more worrying for the White Sox and White Sox fans than a bad start by one of their starting pitchers that ended a tremendous streak of starting pitching that showed some consistency, that established that this is a staff that can do that over a very long period of time. Guys make 30-something starts a year. If they're not injured, they're going to have clunkers.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as it's not like this every start,
right,
he'll be fine. A little concerning that it's against Detroit because, they're bad, but they're better than the White Sox?
Yes.
The AL Central is just bad in general.
They're the second best team in the AL Central.
I guess I'd rather have him be bad against, like, the Yankees, but also, like, I don't know, you're going to see the Tigers a lot, so, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, bound to be.
They
a few
don't
monkers.
Want to be bad against anybody.
Anybody.
The White Sox have again, the most games remaining with the Tigers more than any other team.
We'll have more plans for revenge, but like you said, I mean, you know, clunkers are going to happen. So yeah. I don't know. Anyways, final White Sox news. Kind of, it was brought to our attention just with the Cubs people here. The Nick Madrigal thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Nick Madrigal was sent down to Iowa. What do we make of the Craig Kimbrel trade at this point? I know Cody Hoyer is still in the Cubs organization. I think just pitched yesterday in the minor leagues, and I think he had a scoreless outing, hitting like 98 on the gun. So you know, he's still around, coming off Tommy John. But what do we make of the Kimbrel trade, you know, 2 years later?
I loved it at the time. I still kind of love it. The results of it didn't work for anyone, but I thought one of the things that I will never get on Rick Hahn about is trading at the moment for somebody they thought was going to help that team, the 2021 White Sox, win. Now, Craig Kimbrel didn't perform well, turned into A.J. Pollock, who didn't really perform well, which turned into the money that was available to get Andrew Benintendi, who hasn't performed as well. But I think the trades, and I will judge them from what the process was and what he thought was going to happen with the White Sox, I thought it was a brilliant trade to get a starter at that level that was probably, if not the best, top three starter or reliever at the time, and Craig Kimbrel, who was dealing at that time, and it just didn't work out. So sometimes you just you actually try a thing, and I was yelling and screaming when that happened, not just because we're getting rid of Nick Madrigal, because we're getting a established star, a closer with our already established closer, so the back end of the bullpen, the games can be much shorter for the White Sox, but it just didn't work out. So I can't too much blame Rick Hahn for that. I thought it was a good move.
That trade was made to win the World Series in 2021, and as soon as the White Sox did not do that, I think for the White Sox, that trade was over. Now, obviously, they had the ability to keep Kimbrel for another year. They did pick up that option, and they did make a trade. But I'm not really buying into the whole domino effect down the line. That trade was made to win that year, and they didn't even get a chance to really use that bullpen the way they wanted to use it in that playoff series against the Astros, because right. The starting pitching was so bad.
And they couldn't hit for most of the games.
Also, yes, but the starting pitching was so bad that it made the whatever you had in the bullpen a moot point by the time you got to it. So it was a calculated risk, to use a Rick Hahn phrase nice. From earlier this offseason, but it was that. And I think basically everybody gave it really, not basically everybody, but the vast majority of people gave it very good reviews at the time, because what did it do at the end of July? It seemed like it set the White Sox up to have a nice playoff run, to use that bullpen very effectively. Remember, Michael Kopech was a part of that bullpen at the time. Remember, there was the ponytail gang and everything. So, you know, listen, they looked like in the era of using your bullpen to power a playoff run, they were set to do that. Did they trade their quote-unquote second baseman of the future to do so?
No.
Well, they did. That's what he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But he was hurt at the time, too.
He was, out for the year.
So, listen, it was a trade that was made for a very specific purpose, and I think once that 2021 playoff series ended so disappointingly for them, it was kind of over.
I think a lot of it just signals the issues that Rick Hahn has had with this term with the rebuild. I mean, just too much put into the bullpen. I mean, we could look at the Joe Kelly and Kendall Graveman contracts. I think that money would have been better suited to build out the lineup, and even the selection of Nick Madrigal in the first place. Like, oh, yeah, it's just an interesting player profile to be selecting fourth overall in the Major League Draft. A college second baseman who is not going to provide any pop, any power, might be Dustin Pedroia, but Dustin Pedroia was good in a completely different Major League Baseball, and that was, you know, 11 years ago, whatever, and actually he isn't that good of a defender and base runner. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, can he be a 350 hitter, and he can't.
No.
And that's why he's going down to the minor leagues. Like, it's not a win or a loss for the Cubs or the Sox. And honestly, too, like, even though Hoyer's still in the Cubs organization,
As is Madrigal, for that matter.
Madrigal. It feels like the trade's kind of dead at this point. Like, I don't know. Like, the White Sox wouldn't be using Cody Hoyer either.
I think Cody Hoyer is going to be a stud eventually when he comes back. He was trending that way. No? Okay.
I don't think so.
I think he was. I think he's a future closer.
I mean, hopefully for him and his family, that'd be great. Yeah. You know, I'm not rooting against him, but it's just like, even then, like, the White Sox have Liam Hendricks. It's not like they're going to put him there. They have Reynaldo Lopez, who is, you know, also, you know, quote unquote future closer. You could disagree with that. They have Kendall Graveman and Joe Kelly, who they're both paying $8 and $9 million. Like,
we're pitching very, very well right now.
They have Garrett Crochet, who's a first round pick that is now a reliever. Mm-hmm. They have too many people in that damn bullpen. So Cody Hoyer wasn't going to be a factor on the White Sox. So, that trade is, you know, at this point, I think moot. No one won, no one lost. Hopefully, Cody Hoyer has a nice career for himself.
Hopefully Madrigal 3,000 hits too.
Yeah, Nicky 3,000. We'll see. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the CHGO White Sox postgame show. Minidar, I feel like this is a decent point just to bring up. I found it interesting what happened to letting fans watch batting practice, trying to catch BP home runs. Now Sox charging over $100 for BP in designated non-outfield sections. Then you have to pay for an additional ticket. Ridiculous. There's certain series and three series coming up. Angels, Rangers, and Yankees, I think, are the three, or maybe Red Sox and Yankees are the three teams that have featured open quote-unquote batting practice. I remember always trying to get there 2 hours before the game to go in and try to catch a home run or whatever. And that is disappointing. I think the reason why it stopped was COVID, obviously, right? I think that's why they stopped letting people into the ballpark, obviously, for just completely. And then 2021, you had to, like, roll that back a little bit. You don't want people congregating too much. But now the additional price, that is disappointing to see.
I mean, I remember as a kid, they stopped having the White Sox bat last in BP because Frank wanted to concentrate on his actual swing because he's at work. He's working in the batting cages. And so they do the White Sox first and then the visiting team second. They're just trying to make money. It's a business. I mean, I get it, but they're trying to squeeze out money any way they can. And if you want to see batting practice that badly, the $100 has to go to somewhere. So I don't too much mind that they're charging to see batting practice. I'm fine with it.
That's league standard, by the way, is the home team goes first. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how, if across baseball gates are opening ridiculously early, but I don't know of many places where you can watch the home team take batting practice. Unless there's a situation like there is up in Toronto or even Milwaukee, I think, has it, or Arizona, where you can maybe go sit in a restaurant and while that's, you know, way out in the outfield and see why that's happening. But in terms of them opening the gates to the ballpark, I don't believe that happens to catch all of any home team's batting practice, to my knowledge.
But even then, like, I remember going to watch, like, Big Poppy, Manny, right, when I got to lucky
you can do
to
that
to the
at,
Red
you
Sox.
Can do that at the rate.
Still.
Yeah.
You can?
The gate's open.
The gates are open an hour and a half before the first pitch.
I thought that was – I thought I had the
– They probably close – not for that. They probably close off a section so only people who pay their 100 get there.
I had the idea wrong. My bad. All right, well, glad we cleared that up. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And you can read his latest piece at allchgo.com about Andrew Benintendi, where he's got quotes from Andrew Benintendi and Joe Kelly. Go check it out. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at Ekner123. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_. Anderson, we will be with you on Sunday for postgame. Herb and I will be there. Mm-hmm. We also have a show on Monday. We'll talk. It's pre-recorded. Yeah, we'll talk about
spoilers.
I felt like I was going down the road. We'll talk about vacation trips, and then we'll join you on Tuesday. And Vinny will be at the park too on Monday, so make sure you follow him on Twitter. And thank you, Stephen Nicholas, for producing the show, producer extraordinaire. Follow the show on Twitter at @CHG_WhiteSox, and make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button on the way out. Appreciate everyone for hanging out with us. Talk to you on Sunday. Go Sox.